Hello, this is Roger Schaus, and this is Jumpstart Rewind. This is a branch of our Heaven Bound podcast. Jumpstart number 2274, first written January 31st, 2019. Philippians chapter 2, verse 27. For he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I know several brethren throughout the country who are dealing with cancer now. Prayers are going up for them daily. I know that because I'm one of those who are lifting their names to heaven. Long-term illnesses are hard. It's hard on the body, the finances, the family who takes care of the person. It's hard on our faith. Unlike the flu, cancer and heart disease doesn't pass and get better after a few days in bed. It stays. It changes lifestyles. It makes us reschedule our schedule. Doctor appointments and treatments become a monthly, if not weekly, routine. And for the child of God, he misses services. That's one of the hardest parts of dealing with long-term illnesses. Our verse today surrounds Epaphroditus, one of Paul's dear preaching companions. He was sick. He was very sick. He was at the point of death. In that condition, he couldn't travel for Paul. He couldn't preach. He couldn't do all the wonderful things that he'd been doing. He likely was in bed. That's not a stretch when you understand he was at the point of death, weak, sickly, and rather than helping others, he was in the need of help. Others had to come to him. Epaphroditus got better. Prayers were answered. Paul's words are, God had mercy on him. Paul attributed his recovery not to chicken soup or medicine, but God. My dear mother lingered for weeks before she finally passed through the door of death into the next room. She was ready. We were ready. It's hard to watch a person just slowly slipping away while they hang on. Here are some things I'd like to share with you. First, God knows. God understands that you can't be at services. Sometimes brethren don't understand or even have a caring heart, but the Lord does. Which is better, sitting around a sick loved one, praying and reaching to heaven, or sitting in the church building with your mind on 1,000 other places? Sometimes folks who never have been around cancer do not understand that it's a journey, a long one. For some, there is recovery and remission. That's a time for thanksgiving and praise. For others, the journey ends with hospice and making funeral arrangements. Second, looking backward doesn't help much. We always want to know why. Why did this person get cancer? For some, the answer is obvious. Take a guy who smoked heavily his entire life. He gets lung cancer. That's pretty obvious. But what about the guy who never smoked and gets lung cancer? I know of such cases. What about the person who was picky about what he ate, exercised regularly, yet he still has bypass surgery? Genetics may play a big role. Mostly, we live in a world that's broken and it doesn't always make sense. I suppose it gives us some rest in our minds if we knew why, but usually we don't. I doubt that Job ever knew why. Third, when people do not feel well, patience can run thin. Feelings can become very sharp. It's hard on the family for days and days sitting and watching the loved one who is ill. They get tired. They have to juggle being around the sick person and continuing on with the world. There are jobs that demand us. There are bills that must be paid. There are kids, church, and a zillion other things that go on, even though the world seems to have stopped for the one lying in bed. Things can be said that shouldn't be, but weariness and stress on us can make us impatient and short with one another. Often with an aging parent, there's a child nearby who has been there for a long time, and a child who lives far away who comes in for a couple of days for a quick visit. A war among the siblings can take place because one feels that the burden of the daily care and the other hasn't been there. Those bad feelings can only make things worse. Fourth, our privacy, pride, and self-reliance makes it difficult for us to reach out to others for help, but we ought to. Especially in the church. Have someone come and sit with you while you get out. Run some errands and get some breaks. So often folks at church want to do something, but they don't know what to do. Be specific about what you need and what folks can do to help you. Not everyone can do this, and you have to recognize this. Some talk long and loud, and they can make that person who is not feeling well even worse. Some don't recognize how long that they've stayed, and they can make the other person weary because they've stayed and stayed and stayed. We have to appreciate the privacy of others. Some just do not want others around doing their laundry. Respect that. Some are very picky when it comes to what they eat. Respect that. When they do not respect, that's when we force our way into the lives of others, and it can hurt even more than it helps. Ask first. Ask if you can clean the house for them. Ask if you can bring some food. Ask if you can run some errands for them. Don't be offended if they say no. Some people are very private. Fifth, be careful about asking too many questions. It's announced that someone is having surgery. After services, the poor soul must have told the same thing over and over and over again. I feel sorry for that person. It made him feel weary just watching. I know people mean well, and people care, and people want to pray, but our curiosity can get the best of us. We want to know what is going to happen. We want to know what doctor you're seeing. We want to know what the treatment plans are, how long you've known about this. We mean well, but I wonder if a person ought to just bring in his medical charts and spread them out on the Lord's Supper table so everyone can go around and analyze them. Be careful about being too noisy, and respect the person. Remember the golden rule. How would you want others to treat you? Six, our verse takes us back to God, where we need to be. Years ago, we had a sister in the congregation who's going to have serious brain surgery. I remember preaching a lesson about that and then having a special prayer service just for her. It was a serious operation. The Lord had mercy on her. Doctors, tests, and labs are limited. God is not. There is only so much that the medical staff can see and treat, not God. So first, always, and last, prayers must be offered. Sometimes the family struggles spiritually. They have questions. Sometimes their faith slips because they've missed so many services being with a sick family member. Do some special things that will help their faith. Maybe some folks can come by and sing some hymns. Maybe a personal Bible study can be offered. Maybe sitting with the sick one so the family can go to worship. Maybe bringing some of the class papers by and having a Bible study to keep them up and keep them going. Sharing a bulletin so they don't feel out of touch. If the congregation has video streaming, help them get that set up. Many do not know how to do that. Letting the family know that you are thinking about them and praying for them is wonderful. I remember my dear mom keeping every one of the cards that were mailed to her. She had me go through and count for her. She received over 1,000 cards. I know that because I counted them over and over for her. I read and reread so many of those cards to her. She just looked at the pictures on the cards, and those little acts of kindness touched her heart so much. Remember that. You don't have to write much. It's the thought. It's the effort. It's the heart behind all of this that matters. Those cards meant so much to me. It reminded me that there was a whole army of family and brethren who were behind us, hoping for the best. Knowing that you're not alone means so much. Epaphroditus was sick to the point of death. God had mercy on him. Thank you so much for listening.